Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning. Thank God for blessings this morning, and always glad to be in the house of God. Glad to see each one here. Glad to see Sister Ferris Day, who's here from out of town for Sister Holmes' birthday celebration. And it's just good to be in the house of God and to know that God is blessing his people, blessing the saints. And we just want to give him glory this morning, because if not for the mercies of the Lord, where would we be? So we're going to look to the Lord in prayer. We realize that there are several who are not here because of health reasons, but we know that God is able to bless them where they are and us here. And truly, we're looking for him to show himself mighty in our presence this day. Thankful for Pastor Jenkins, and thankful that she is here, but to give her the opportunity to have just a spot of rest today, just as her father, Brother Lawrence Johnson, would say, just a mite of rest. And so we thank God and solicit your prayers on my behalf as well. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, oh, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for hearing us when we pray, dear Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord, with every concern, Lord, that we have, whether big or small, dear God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are ever abiding, dear God, for us. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord. And Lord, as we come into your presence, we thank you, Lord, for this great gift of salvation, Lord, that you have given to us, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, your dear Son, Jesus, made it possible, Lord, for us to be called your children. Made it possible, Lord, for us to be able to come together in your name, dear God, and to know, Lord, that you will hear our prayers. Lord, we are mindful again of those who are not able to be here today, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with them, dear God. We pray, Lord, that your compassion, dear God, would touch them, Lord, heal them, Lord, according to your will, dear Father. Lord, we know, Lord, that there are several who are suffering in body, Lord, who have health issues, dear God, but we know, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. And so we pray, dear God, that you would just bless them, dear Father. Give them comfort, Lord. Give them soundness in their body, dear Father, according to your will, dear God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would free them from any anxieties or worries, dear Father. And help them, Lord, just to rest in faith in thee, dear God, knowing, Lord, that in your own time, Lord, and in your own way, Lord, you're going to deliver and give relief. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just bless, Father, for we know, Lord, that you are a healer. Lord, we know, Lord, that you are the great physician, dear Father. And, Lord, you can heal, Lord, when no man else, no other man can heal, dear God. When man can't do anything else, dear God. Lord, we know, Father, that you have just begun. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless and comfort. Lord, remember the bereaved families, dear God, in our midst, dear God. And Lord, those who have lost loved ones, and Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would extend your consolation and comfort to each and every one of them, dear God. Give them strength, dear God, Lord, for they can't get it from anywhere else, Lord, from thee, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear God, as we've come and gathered together in your name. And Lord, we realize, Lord, that there are many issues, many things going on out in the world, dear God, many things that people are concerned about, people walking around carrying signs and picketing, dear God, and protesting about, dear Father, so much so, dear God, that they're lending all their strength, dear God, to those things, dear God, and none of it to thee, dear Father, by knowing, trying to know, dear God, what your will is in their life. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, not to get swept up in the things of this world, Lord, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Help us, Lord, Father, Lord, to just lean heavily, Lord, upon you, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would pour out your spirit upon us, Lord, for this service, for this place, at this time, dear God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, manifest yourself in our hearts, dear God. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts, dear Father. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice, dear God. Lord, that we may glorify you in all things, dear Father. Lord, Father, that you would get the glory, Lord, from everything that is said and everything that is done. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for answering our prayers on behalf of Brother and Sister Belton, dear Father. We thank you, Lord, that baby Belton came, Lord, and is well and is healthy, dear God. Lord, they would say a bouncing, the new expression, a bouncing baby boy, dear God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for him, dear Father. We thank you, Lord, for being strong, dear God, for Sister Maria, dear God, and giving her the strength that she needs. And we pray, Lord, that you would undergird her, dear Father. Touch her, dear God. We pray, Lord, your blessings upon their household, Lord, and remember their children, Tatum and Liam, dear God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just give them, Lord, the rest and the strength, Lord, that they need, dear God, now and in the coming days and weeks and months, dear God. And Lord, just have your way, dear Father. Lord, we know, Lord, they're giving you the praise, Lord, this morning, Lord, and we are praising you, Lord, for answering our prayers, dear God, on their behalf. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Sister Carol and Sister Webb, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would touch their bodies, dear God. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've already done for them, dear God. And we know, Lord, we're just persuaded, dear Father, that you're not finished, dear Father. And so, Lord, we continue, Lord, to lift them up to thee, Lord. Father, please remember Pastor Jenkins, dear God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would give her, Lord, the strength that she needs. Touch her body, dear God. Touch her affliction, dear God, with your healing power, dear God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would give her relief, dear God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would remember Brother Pyrene this morning, dear God. Give him your anointing, dear God, this day, your dear son's name, dear God. Lord, that he may stand, dear God, where you have placed him today, dear God. Lord, everything that he says, dear God, would be to your glory and to your honor, dear God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you bless Sister Millicent, Lord. Strengthen her, dear God. Father, keep her in your care, Lord, as she brings the music, the song, dear God. Lord, that we may sing someone's sadness away, dear God. Father, and that it might, that you might be glorified, dear God, and praised even in song, dear God. Oh, Lord, I ask an interest, Lord, in your touch, dear Father. Lord, that you would be with me, dear God, for even for the ministry of the word this day, dear God. Lord, I stand, dear Father, Lord, before you, dear God. Lord, humbly as I know how, dear God, realizing, dear God, that it is not in me, dear Father, Lord, to speak your word, dear God, but it is, Lord, as your power, dear God. Lord, give utterance, Father. I pray, dear God, that you would just have your way, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember the saints, Lord, in the media room. Remember Sister Melita, Brother PJ, dear God. Father, pray, Lord, that you would bless them, and we thank you for them, dear God. Lord, we thank you, dear God, even for the new carpet, Lord, that you provided, dear God. Lord, for the means, dear God, for we know, Lord, that it is you hand, that's your hand, dear God. We know, Lord, that it came from you. And Lord, we thank you, dear God, and praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for the trustees, dear God. We thank you, dear Father, for the strength, Lord, that you gave them, dear Father, even as they were here, dear God, all week, dear Father. And, Lord, for their hard work, dear God, during the installation, dear Father. Lord, we thank you for our dear brothers. And we pray, dear God, that you would bless them, Lord. Renew their strength, dear God. For we know, dear God, that they worked very, very hard, dear Father. Lord, because, dear Lord, they realize, Lord, that it is unto you, Lord, and not unto men. Father, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember this neighborhood, dear God. Remember this church building, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember those who live around this church building, dear Father. Lord, you see and know, dear God, what happens here day and night, dear God, even when we're not present, dear God. So we ask, Lord, that you would just overshadow, Lord, this place where the saints assemble themselves together, Lord, in your name. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would discourage those who would do vandalism, dear Father, to the grounds and to the building, dear God. Lord, we're praying for their souls, Lord, and for the souls of their children, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to continue to love them and pray for them, dear God. For, Lord, we know, Lord, in your word, you told us, Lord, to pray for those who despitefully use you, dear God. And so, Father, we're praying, dear God, that you would, Lord, help them, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just help us, Lord, to love those, dear God, who don't know you, Lord, in the pardon of their sins. Help us, Lord, to love those who don't even love themselves, dear Father. Lord, we know, Lord, that the door is always open, dear God, for them to come in, dear Father. Lord, for them to come in and hear your eternal word, dear God, and receive a true blessing. And so, Father, we're praying, dear God, for the souls, dear Father, of those, dear God, who are homeless. Lord, we know many times Brother Mann would pray, would make a request, pray, remember the homeless and the hungry, dear Father. And so, Lord, we are continuing, Lord, to remember the homeless and the hungry, dear God. Even those, dear God, who from time to time, dear God, will come, dear Father, in, dear Lord, wanting something to drink, dear Father, or when they wake up, dear God, from sleeping on the ground outside the church, dear God. Father, we can see, Lord, that they have a need, dear God, and Lord, your spirit, dear God, moves whoever the one is, the saint that encounters them, Lord, to even go down and give them something to drink or even a bite, just a bite of something, just a snack of something to eat to put it in a bag as they go on their way. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would speak to their hearts, dear Father, to help them to know, Lord, that you have something better for them, dear God, than the way that they're living, Lord. This we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, remember Sister Ruth, dear Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Remember her family, dear God, her son and her grandson, dear Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, remember Sister Saunders, Lord, in Florida, dear God. Remember her family and her companion, dear God. Remember Brother Sammy Mann, dear Father, and his family, dear God. Lord, we're continuing to pray for them, dear Father. Lord, that you would make a way, Lord, for them to be able to come out to the house of God. Lord, remember Sister Sandy Turner and her family, dear Father. Oh, Lord, you know what they stand in need of, dear Father. And so, Lord, we're asking, dear God, for you to bless, Lord, in that situation. Lord, we thank you, dear God, that for the family that gathered, Sister Holmes' family that gathered, dear God, to celebrate her, dear Father. We pray, Lord, that you just continue to bless Sister Holmes. Give her the strength that she stands in need of, dear God, from day to day. And, Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for her dear sister, Lord, and for how she's walked with you, dear God, and talked with you, dear God, and testified of your goodness to her. Bless her, dear Father. Bless her family members, dear God. We're thankful, Lord, for Sister Ferris Day, dear God, who traveled, Lord, to be here with her sister, dear God, and other family members, dear Father, and others, Lord, who came, dear God, to celebrate Sister Holmes, dear God. Father, even, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, for those family members who will have to travel back. Lord, we pray, Lord, traveling mercies, dear God, on their behalf, dear Father. Be with them. Keep them safe, dear God. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just have your way in all things, dear God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would get the glory for yourself, dear Father. And truly, Lord, we will lift up your name in praise, for you are worthy. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Can we turn in our worship to the Lord to page 21? 21 and the worship of the Lord.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God. From whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, good morning, saints and friends, and truly thank God to be here today and how he has blessed us to be able to rise up this morning, make our way to the house of God, to have an opportunity to fellowship one with another. Amen. It's always a blessing. It's always a blessing to be in the house of God, recognizing Sister Blake this morning. In the ministry, Minister Jenkins, thank the Lord for being here, Sister Millicent, and truly thank God. And I ask that you will lift me up in prayer as you already have. As I stand in this spot where elegance normally stands in speech, I'm not always there. So bear with me and pray for me that my speech can be as or close to some elegance of our dear Sister Blake. And truly thank God. I thank God for all of you and thank God to find it a privilege and an honor always to do the will of the Lord. And our scripture reading today will be reading out of the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 55, starting with verse 6 through 11. Isaiah 55, starting with verse 6 through 11. And we'll read responsibly. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near.
Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Together,
so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord already for the reading of his word. And those scriptures have already spoken to me, and I thank the Lord for the message that he's going to give according to those. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank God for it. Yeah. Truly thank God to be here today, Sister Blake, and thank God for his goodness unto us. And we always, even with the opening prayer of Sister Blake, as she lifted up just about everyone we know almost, but we truly thank God for being able to be here and have a prayer on our heart, a thought on our mind that we would like to share with the Lord or have the saints offer up a special prayer. So at this time, we'll ask if you have any special prayer requests, anything you'd like to allow us to share with the Lord on your behalf, let it be known unto God and unto men. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Be free. Okay. All right. Sister Baleen has made a request for her loved ones in California, her oldest sister there, that there's some fires in California and it's threatening in the area where they live. Not sure if it's made it to their homes, but it's only threatening in the area. So just remember that family of Sister Holmes and, in prayer in a special way. Amen. Any others? Brother Lebester. Okay. Yes, amen. Heading into the fire. Yes. I said heading into the fire before the Lord, amen. Yeah, just a thought. You're heading there, knowing you got to go and have some to maybe be able to witness to. That's just like heading into the fire for the Lord. You're not fearing, just going on. Amen. Thank the Lord.
So, Byron, I just want to thank the Lord for his ample blessings upon our family. As you know, just worry about those there, but thank God for blessing her child.
Amen.
Thank God for so, and thank God for him. And that's what she was to remember her in prayer. She had pain in her back. Right now, she's dealing with that. But everything is on the up and up. Thank God for that.
Amen.
My sister Webb. And remember her family, remember special prayer for her children and her husband, but also remember her too.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you, and I thank God for thanking God here for your prayers for us, for my rest. Struggling a little bit today with my foot, more than I meant, but just remember me in prayer. I'm going on for a little.
Amen.
We need a little rest.
Not at all. Amen. Thank the Lord for rest. He put rest in our pathway. Put rest upon us. Jesus spoke of rest.
Yes.
So rest is for the soul and the body. Amen. So you can you need to know when to go aside and get some rest for the body as well. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Yes, Sister Carol.
I want to thank the Lord for this day. Thank the Lord for his goodness and mercy for waking me up this morning.
Amen.
I'm thankful. I'm coming along, and I thank the Lord for it. Slow process, but the Lord is there with me.
Amen.
And just continues to hold me up in prayer. I'll be so careful. Give the Lord praise and the glory.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Amen.
Thank the Lord for you, Sister Carol, and we'll continue to hold you up in prayer. The Lord will bless you and see you through. Sister Smith. Amen. Thank you, Sister Smith. Sister Smith, let us know that it's a blessing to be saved. And we know that her cup's running over of joy. Amen. Thank the Lord for seeing it and knowing that. Tears only come when your cup's running over and you're full of joy. Amen. Sister Regina, you have any requests this morning? Amen. Thank the Lord for you and good to see you here. Amen. Sister Holmes, yes, any requests this morning? Amen. Thank the Lord for you. You are an encouragement and truly a blessing to continue, that the Lord's continued to allow you to be with us. Amen. Sister Millicent.
I thank the Lord, too, for his many blessings and all that he's done for me. And I carried me through this past week and for procedures and all. He's been good to me. And just ask that you continue to remember Jasmine and I, we too prepare Lord's will on next Sunday after service to fly out to Texas with our family.
Amen.
And remember Sister Lillian. Remember her body. She's on the phone.
Okay.
Continue to remember her in prayer. The Lord will bless her and remember me.
Amen. Sister Blake, Sister Lillian, we'll keep lifting you up in prayer. Sister Ferris Day, thank the Lord for you to be here. Any prayer requests? Amen. Okay. Amen. All right. Thank the Lord. Sister Melita. Amen. Amen. Brother Reggie, I saw you. Yeah. Brother Reggie, any special? I saw you come over. I wanted to make sure. Thank the Lord for being back. Okay.
Amen.
All right. All right.
Praise
Thank
the Lord.
God. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Brother Myrie, I also wanted to put in a request. Remember our cousin Jenny in Milwaukee. Jenny has cancer, and her body is to the point she's struggling to breathe. I don't know whether she's at the last or what, but I was texting with her sister, Julia, the other day. So I ask that you remember Jenny much in prayer, and her husband and the family much in prayer.
All right. Amen. Continue to remember me. Thank the Lord to be here, and keep my family in your prayers always, and Jacob just pushed back out to sea Wednesday, and so he's going out to the deep there for 6 weeks and a half, and then he'll come back in, Lord's will on all things, and then he'll go back out for 6.5 to 9 months. So keep him in your prayers, and likewise my daughter, Madeline, and my companion. At this time, we'll look to the Lord in prayer. Remember with you. Ask the Lord about.
Amen.
Have faith. Have faith that he will. That he will hear and he will answer according to our faith. According to our faith. Amen. We'll look to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before thee, we truly want to say thank you this morning for allowing us to rise up and freshen ourselves and make our way to the house of God. And we know it's only by your strength that you have given each and every one of us, whether we're here in the building or whether we're listening on the phone or on the web. You truly have blessed each and every one of us and given us an opportunity this morning to hear your word. And we're truly thankful for it. And we're thankful for each and every one of them that were spoken requests this morning, and those that were unspoken. You know all about them. Remember Sister Laurencine and Brother Maurice that are in the lower auditorium, as well as all the children that are down there with them. And we take this time also to remember Sister Carol in a special way. Thank the Lord for her. Thank the Lord for her faithfulness. And we just thank you for all that you're doing on her behalf. And we ask that you continue to bless her and strengthen her and allow her to look up to thee where all her strength cometh from. We know that thou's able to touch her and raise her up out of that place that she's in and allow her to go back to her her home in a special way. We realize that it's the comfort to her, it's the strength to her to be out of that place and back home. So we ask that thou would honor her request and our prayers being lifted up to thee. We ask that thou would bless her in a mighty way. Continue to remember her, remember her loved ones, remember those that are there in that institution with her, that they will care for her according to all things that are right in thy sight. So we ask the ministering blessing on her behalf. Likewise, we ask that thou remember all the others that are listening in. We ask that thou remember them that are on the phone this morning, each and every one of them, some in Florida, some even local here, Sister Webb as well. We ask that thou remember her family in a special way and remember her in a special way. Remember her loved ones. I can't remember all of them that were requested about, but you know all about them. And according to her faith and her love for her loved ones and her family, we ask that thou would hear from on high, look down with favor upon her in a special way, grant blessings. We ask that thou touch her in body and heal her up and strengthen her up that she may be able to make it out to the house of God, which is her will and thy will. So we ask that thou bless in a mighty way. And likewise, we're thankful for Sister Lillian being on, and we ask that you'd remember her in a special way. Look down upon her with favor and allow her to have strength renewed in the body, that she'd be able to likewise find enough strength to make it out to the house of God, because we know that's your will, and we believe it's her will as well. So we ask that thou would bless her in a mighty way. And we're truly thankful to see this Minister Jenkins here this morning. And we ask that thou to remember her in a special way. We're thankful for her. We're thankful for her faithfulness. And we're thankful to know that you have given her a moment of rest for the body. And we ask that as she's taken this rest, that you would touch her, strengthen her, and allow her to be rejuvenated in body from head to toe. We ask that thou would look down with favor, Father. We realize she has put in a lot of time of steady work and steady work on your behalf. So we ask now that she's pulled aside for a few moments or a period of time to get rest for the body, be able to just re-strengthen and rejuvenate herself. And just listen to the word of God coming at her. We ask that thou would bless her in a mighty way. She's still on the firing line. She's not giving up. She's just needing rest for the body. So we ask that thou would grant this so, and that thou would look down with favor and hear her humble cry. Likewise, we're thankful that you blessed her family, her loved one, Sister Maria and Brother Belton, as they have... you have allowed them to bring a new life into this world, and you have granted them a blessing according to your word when you said, be fruitful and multiply. So we're truly thankful to know that you have blessed them with another child. Now strengthen Sister Maria in a special way. Look down upon her with favor and bless her in her back, and bless her as she continues to rejuvenate from this carry for all these months. And we're truly thankful for the new name you have given their family. And I don't know if I'm going to say it right, but Cohen, we ask that thou to remember this young baby boy. And we ask that thou would look down with favor upon him and bless him and strengthen him, allow him to be able to grow, learn, and the nurture of thee. So we're just truly thankful for this family, not forgetting Tatum and Liam in a special way. We ask that thou remember them in a special way as well. Now have thine own divine way in that family, and we're truly thankful for the blessing you have given them this past week. Likewise, we're thankful for Sister Millicent being here. We ask that thou remember her in a special way and remember her request. She's thankful to just be able to do your will, and thankful for your blessings on her behalf. And she spoke of... some friends or loved ones or family members that are suffering in body. someone with cancer, and we know that thou art able to strengthen and renew even a body that has been riddled with cancer, no doubt in my mind. So we ask that thou would look into this matter according to your will and allow this soul to know that there are those praying for on her behalf, and we ask that thou would bless in a mighty way, and that thou would get the glory for the healing. In Jesus' name we pray. And likewise, we're thankful for Sister Regina being here this morning, and we ask that thou remember her in a special way and continue to look down upon her with favor, continue to bless her and guide and direct and see her through. We know that her heart's heavy due to the fact that her sister is away right now. So we ask that thou would comfort Sister Regina in a special way and allow her to know that you're still in charge and that you're still going to see things through. We're thankful to see Sister Fair stay here, and we're thankful for the travels you've given her and her love to be here with us. And we ask that thou continue to bless her and remember the conditions she brought forth. She brought many, but we know that you're able and you remember each and every one of them. But we ask in a special way that you do remember Sister Fairstay, soul, body, and spirit. Continue to strengthen her. Allow her to know that your word is very important to continue to receive and understand and live by. So we ask that thou would, in all her endeavors, that you would bless her and strengthen her and guide and direct her as she goes to and fro. Strengthen her in body. She said her hands and some other portions of her body are feeling some nerve issues. So we ask that thou remember that condition as well. And truly, Sister Holmes being here this morning, Father, we're thankful to see her, and we're thankful that you have blessed her once again to be in our midst and be able to be in our presence. And we ask that thou will continue to bless her and bless her in a special way and continue to look down upon her with favor. You encourage our hearts each and every time you allow us to see her or hear her voice. Because we realize that, as she even says, by our prayers and just by your grace and your mercy, she is still here amongst us. And we're truly thankful for the love that you have shown her, and that love is showing us. So we ask that thou will continue to bless her in a mighty way. And likewise, remember her family in a special way. She has family out on the West Coast, and her daughter, Baleen, let us know that it's near the fires that are out there. And so we ask that thou have mercy and protect them and have them move to safety where necessary to be. So we ask that thou remember her loved ones in a special way out there. And likewise, we're thankful to see Brother Reggie back, and thankful that you allowed him to travel with mercy and go to and fro, him and his companion, and likewise get a little rest while they were gone. And we're just truly thankful for him and thankful for your blessings on his behalf. Continue to remember him in a special way and like manner. Thankful for Sister Melita being here, and we ask thou to remember her in a special way. Continue to remember her requests and those that she put in a request for. Remember her family in a special way. Remember her daughter in a special way. Likewise, we ask. And likewise, her companion. And Brother Pierre was spoken of. Not sure if he's in listening ear, but continue to remember this young brother in a special way. In like manner, we ask that thou continue to strengthen him. Continue to let him know that thou art God, and besides thee, there is none other. And there is no strength, there is no life anywhere else. So we ask that thou bless him in a special way. And likewise, Brother Levester, we're thankful for him always. And we're thankful for his faithfulness. And we ask that thou would bless him as he heads west and heads out to an area that's having some troubles. But he's going with family. He's going to see family and to encourage family and be with them. His brother, and we ask that thou would strengthen him, lift him up, strengthen him in spirit, soul, body, and spirit, that he will be able to travel well, travel with safety. But also his desire is to let men know that thou art God, and besides thee is none other, and there's no way out without thee. So we ask that thou would bless him in a mighty way and give him the ministry that you would put upon his lips for his loved ones and those that he'll be seeing and traveling with. And we ask a special blessing this morning with Sister Blake. We ask that thou remember her in a special way. We ask that thou would look down upon her with favor, Father. You know what you have given her to speak unto us, and allow her strength and go in the volume of the book, as thou hast said. So we know that your word will not return void unto thee. So we ask that thou would bless her this morning, strengthen her, soul, body, and spirit. We ask that thou would guide and direct her words, and allow those words to be the word of God. Have thine own divine way in her life. Continue to bless and see her through this day. And likewise, I ask that thou would remember my family. Continue to bless and remember my son that's gone back out on the seas. And you know all about him. You see where he is. Whether he's out on the deep or whether he's on dry land, thou is there. So we know that thou was able to keep him. So we ask your blessings to be with him. Likewise, remembering Madeline and remember my companion as well in a special way. We ask that thou bless her, see her through, continue to strengthen her soul, body, and spirit. Remember her as she still bereaves over her loss of her loved one, her sister. But we ask that thou would look down with favor upon her. Now have thine own divine way. We're truly thankful to be in the house of God this morning. And we ask that you would guide and direct and allow your spirit to have his way this morning in the house of God. And that all that be said and done be according to your will. And we know that thou is able to speak to the hearts of men and allow men to know that Jesus Christ came and he suffered and died and shed out blood for the atonement of sin. And we're truly thankful that we heard the call when you called upon us to come. So we ask that thou would allow your voice to speak to men today and let the church say come. For Christ's sake is our prayer. Amen.
Thank the Lord for the foregoing prayer, and just thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his goodness. I stand before you to offer prayer before we bring our tithes and offerings into God's storehouse. Thanking God for all that he has provided for each and every one of us. Knowing that what we give is already God's. But he's instructed us what to do that we might delight ourselves in him and that he might delight in us. Amen. And so as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, this being the third Sunday, the special offering for this Sunday is for the food pantry. And as we file by, we may place our tithes and offerings for that, or the food pantry in the center plate. Or we may place our special offering in the center plate, our tithes and offerings on either side. And we'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, once again, dear God, Lord, that we can call upon your name, dear Father. And Lord, we're so thankful, dear God, that you do not tire, dear God, of hearing us, dear Father. For truly, Lord, it is a privilege to come before you, Lord, and offer up our thanks to you, dear God, for all that you have done for us. Lord, for all of your many benefits, dear God, to us. Most of all, Lord, for giving your dear son, Lord, to die in our stead. And so, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise this morning, dear God, for your goodness to us. We pray, dear God, that you would receive, Lord, these offerings, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would use them to your glory and to your honor. We pray, Lord, that you would accept them, dear God, and that they would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, that you would give wisdom, dear God, for their distribution, dear Father. For, Lord, how you would have them to be used, Lord, that the kingdom of God may be blessed. We know, dear God, you're rich. We know, Lord, the cattle on 1,000 hills are yours. But, Father, we realize, Lord, that we can truly be blessed, dear God, by obedience to your word. And, Lord, because we love you, dear God, it is not grievous, Lord, to bring in our tithes and offerings, Lord, because we love you, dear God, because you first loved us. Bless each gift and each giver, and use both to your glory and to your honor. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I cannot be idle, for Jesus is gold, and work in my harvest today. And then at the evening when labor is done, whatever is right I will say. Then away to the work I will go, and join in the reaping of grain. And back from the harvest with beautiful sheep, I'll come with rejoicing again. I cannot be idle, the fields are so white, and numberless sheep will be lost. They perish for want of more reapers to save. How awful to think of the cost. Then away to the work I will go, I'll go, and join in the reaping of grain, I'll go, and back from the harvest with you, sheep, O sheep, I'll come with rejoicing again. I cannot be idle, soon time will be o'er, and reaping be ended for it. I'll gather the lost from the byways of sin, to walk in the beautiful way. Then away to the work I will go, and join in the reaping of grain. And back from the harvest with you, beautiful sheep, I'll come with rejoicing again. I cannot be idle, no time for repose. My resting shall be over there, where all of the faithful in heaven above a crown of bright glory shall wear. Then away to the work I will go, and join in the reaping of grain, and back from the harvest with beautiful sheep, I'll come with rejoicing again. Then away to the work I will go, and join in the reaping of grain. And back from the harvest with beautiful sheep, I'll come with rejoicing again.
Then away to the work I will go, and join in the reaping of grain. And back from the harvest with beautiful sheep, I'll come with rejoicing again. Amen. Amen. Nothing like going to a harvest and coming back with something.
Amen.
Amen. I go to a little harvest over there in Zanesville, and I bring back some sweet corn, and that's some good stuff.
Mm.
So I thank the Lord for it. We're going to pray God's blessing upon the harvest this morning. That's going to be some sweet corn to our ears and to our soul. Amen. Amen. I want you to have an understanding of what God's word is about. It's about a harvest, and it's harvest time. And the word of God is to harvest souls. And God has given our dear sister a sickle this morning. Amen. And that sickle's in her heart and in her hand. And it's the word of God, and it's in her mind, And she's going to use that sickle to do some harvesting this morning. And it's going to be whether or not you're going to receive, amen, and be put in the bushel. Amen. When you get harvest, you got to get put in the bushel and in the count. All right? There's a count that goes in the bushel. Now, some's going to fall by the wayside if you don't listen and you don't receive the harvest. Amen? Amen. This word of God is given so we can understand how to live. Amen. So at this time, we're going to stand and we're going to ask God's blessing upon our dear sister this morning as she is going to break forth the bread of life unto us. Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we look to thee in prayer, and we truly want to say thank you. Thank you for all that's been said and done thus far. Thank you for listening in and hearing our humble cries. And we know that you listened in because you said that you would hear the righteous. And we believe in our hearts and in our minds, and we don't doubt, and we only have faith that we live according to your word, and your word is righteousness. So that's what's in us. So we ask that you would bless this morning and bless your people and continue to bless us. Now we ask a special blessing on your dear servant this morning, that you have given your word and you have placed your word in her heart and in her mind and in her lips. And we ask that thou would speak through her and guide and direct her and allow her to be strengthened and allow her to know that thou art God and besides thee there is none other. And allow her to know that it is not her that's speaking, but it is your very word. Now have thine own divine way this morning. And let each and every one of us be careful to listen with opening ears and hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. For Christ's sake is our prayer. Amen.
Praise our God.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Byron. Amen. Thank the Lord this morning. Good morning, saints.
Morning.
When first I started to see the Lord, I'm glad I counted the cost. I fully measured to Jesus' work. I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the prize. He saved my soul that was lost. And now my treasures are in the skies. I'm glad I counted the cost.
Praise our God. Amen. Thank God for his goodness. When first I started to seek, you know, that part of our responsive reading started out, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I'm so glad. Praise. When first I started to seek the Lord, I'm glad I counted the cost. And the only way we can count the cost is by knowing the word of God, hearing the word of God, having the Spirit of God speak to our hearts through his word. And when measuring to his word, we have first have to surrender. You know, if you're going to measure something, if you've got a ruler or a tape measure, you're going to measure something, whatever that is has to stay still long enough for you to measure. So we have to devote our hearts and our minds and have a stillness in our spirit to hear the word of God and receive the word of God. And I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord this morning and thankful for each of you, and I know you've been praying for me. I need every one of them, and I trust you're praying even now for me. I thank God for all that he has done. I thank God for Brother Byron. I thank God for him and standing here with me, and I need as many to stand with me as I can. I know Pastor Jenkins is sitting there, but she's standing with me too. And as are each and every one of you, we thank God to be in the house of God this morning and to see our children who are here. Glad to see each and every one of you. We miss you when you're not here. We want you to know that. And we love you. And we are praying for you and God to keep you in safety. And we thank God for our new dad,
for the third time, Brother Belton. Thank you, so good to see you this morning, and thank God for you. The smile on your face tells the whole story. So we thank God, and we continue to lift you and Sister Maria up in prayer. Just thank God for his goodness this day. Amen. So good, good to see each one. And, you know, Big Brother Tatum back there as well, Big Brother Tatum and Big Brother Liam as well for little Koa. And so we thank God for our children. Amen. In our responsive reading this morning, we read from Isaiah chapter 55. And that's that sixth verse, just this. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That just lets us know that there may come a time when he may not be able to be found if we delay too long. Call ye upon him while he is near. So that implies there may be a time when he will not be near. For we know that the word of God says that my spirit will not always strive with man. But we're so glad that he strove with us. And so we are here today. Amen. For our text, we would like to look at verses 8 and 9 from our responsive reading. We know that God is almighty. We know that, as Brother Maurice often reminds us, God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. God is just God. As Haley said in our class, that when Moses asked the Lord, who shall he say sent him, when he sent him to Pharaoh, and the Lord told him, just say, I am that I am. I am sent me. And so God our Father is the great I am. And in verses 8 and 9, God tells us something about his attributes. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And because God knows all things and his thoughts are higher, God can see the end from the beginning of every single issue that we might encounter. God has a purpose for everything. And people may not see it. Even as his children, there are times when we may not see it or might not understand what God is doing at a particular time. But as the scripture says, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. You know, for us to think otherwise is to presume upon something that we have no business even touching. We cannot tell God what to do or how to do it or when to do it. We think of how God created all things. We can certainly, and we are the creation and not the creator. We have to depend upon the Lord and trust God to know what is best for each and every one of us. Now, a mistaken idea that people have now, even people who call themselves Christians, and it's widely promoted in some Christian circles, is that all trials are from the devil. Anytime something bad happens, that's just the devil. And that's what they say, that all trials are from the devil and that a good God would never send trials to his children. That's a falsehood. That's a falsehood because we see many places in the Word of God where the Lord tested those who served him or were supposed to be serving him to see whether they would be true or not, to see whether they would stand or not. In fact, even in the Sunday school lesson that we had, I believe 2 weeks ago, about the unfaithful spies, when God sent the spies out, God had Moses send the spies out to spy out the land of Canaan to see what kind of cities they had, whether they were walled cities or not, to look at the land and to tell what the fruit of the land was and to bring back samples of the fruit and to see what kind of people were there, because they were going to have to take the land, because there were already people living there. But God was going to give them power to take the land, which God has already promised to them. But we know that, and when God sent them there, God already knew what was there. God knew what kind of cities were there, because he knows all things. What kind of people were there, what kind of fruit was there, whether the land would bring forth or not. God already knew these things. But God sent them there to see whether the people would trust him and believe him. He wanted them to see what was there. Not because they were going to have to overcome it, but they were going to have to trust him and obey him and remember what God had already done for them in bringing them out of Egypt. Even while they were still in Egypt, how they were spared from most of the plagues that came upon the Egyptians, and how God brought them through the Red Sea, and how God led them, and how God provided bread for them and water for them, all the while that they were murmuring and complaining, and God provided meat for them and all these things. But God wanted to test them to see whether they would stand or no, to see whether they would trust him or no, to see whether they would obey him or no. So we see that there are testing times. There are times when God brings something to pass in our life, or we're confronted by something to see whether we will serve the Lord or no. Will we remain faithful to the Lord? So the Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. And so the way that God brings about a test is God's way. God knows what is best. So if we are hit by a trial or a sickness or some difficult person on the job or some financial setback, those people claim that we're supposed to rebuke the devil and claim our victory by faith. It's not always the devil. Sometimes it's us. And God allows that test to come and allows these trials and tribulations to come so that we might see where we are in him. For there are those who, if they don't experience a fairly fast deliverance or recovery, they say, well, I guess I just don't have faith. If they're looking on my life and I prayed and I say I'm trusting God and they don't see a change, if I'm afflicted, they say, well, you know, your faith must be weak. But it may just be God testing me. It may be God wanting to draw me closer to him. It may be God wanting to teach me something that I don't know as yet, but he wants me to know. It may be that I have to go through something so that someone else goes through it, I can be a comfort to them. So to say, well, you know, if you're going through something, you know, it's just the devil, or you're not serving God, well, that's wrong thinking. That's wrong-headed. Psalm 130:50 says, I wait for the Lord. See, there's an impatience there in people. They want it right now. But that Psalm 130:50 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. So if you're praying, if you have a prayer, if you have a petition before the Lord, and the Lord has not answered it in the way that you would hope, or if you've asked for healing and the Lord has not completely healed you yet, we still have to wait in hope. We wait for the Lord. Our soul has to wait. In his word, the Lord says, in your patience possess ye your soul. So we have to possess our souls and not allow the enemy to get a hold of it and drag us down, because we're waiting in hope for the Lord, because his ways are not our ways. How many of our trials, or what some might call misfortunes, because some people always put things in the terms of luck, but how many of our trials may be for the glory of God, or would be for the glory of God, if we'd only let him finish what he has begun in us? That we don't kick out of the harness, but if we just wait on him and stay right there and depend upon him. They may be his plan for giving us blessings. Our blessings may be coming through going through victoriously through a trial. And by not going through and waiting on the Lord, we may frustrate God's purpose in us and cut short or cut off as unfulfilled the blessings that God was going to give us because we're blind, we have a blind lack of faith, or just stubborn in our spirit because we don't want to wait on God. The Lord can even use sickness and death to our good and to his glory if we just hold on to him and let him finish out his purpose. We're going to look at, we're going to turn to John chapter 11 because we know that there's an account there of someone who needed a blessing, needed a touch, truly needed a touch from the Lord. And there were those who were somewhat impatient and couldn't understand what God was doing. And so in titling this, we want to consider the thought, yielding to God's way. Yielding to God's way. Because we just read that his thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are higher. And he knows what his purpose is. Yielding to God's way. So in looking at John chapter 11, this is a familiar account. The Pastor Wilbur would say, and Pastor Jenkins has often said, you Bible students know, but we understand that there are some who are perhaps not as well-versed, and so we want to look at this account of Lazarus, and we want to look at it so that everyone here can get an understanding, young and old. St. John, chapter 11, looking at verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So we've said that God has a purpose in things, and when God has a purpose, it may not be one that we understand. Because Lazarus is sick. His sisters are concerned. But Jesus has assured them this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So this was not just a stranger, but this was a family that Jesus knew, and he loved them. Verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, we have to think what human understanding or what human thoughts or emotions would think, but we're seeing what Jesus did. Verse 7, then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, Jesus knew what he meant The disciples did not know what he meant. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking up rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, sometimes you just have to get plain language with people so that they understand, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jesus said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. My. 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. They were concerned about Jesus because in Judea there had been threats against him. We read of that earlier in this chapter. The last time that he was in Judea, there were those who, in verse 8, his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? You're going back again? And they wanted to stone you the last time that you were there. But Jesus knew his purpose. He knew they could have no power over him except it be granted from the Father. And so the disciples, again, not understanding, where Thomas said, let us go that we may die with him. They went expecting for Jesus to be stoned. But 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. My. So Lazarus was sick. And this event occurred just before Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last week before his crucifixion. It seemed amazing to the sisters that Jesus was in no hurry to go to them. But this was a divine delay. This was for the glory of God. It was not for fear of the Jews that had kept him away, as the disciples believed, but Jesus' actions were planned. He was the master of the situation. He was not a victim of the Jews who were perhaps lying in wait, but he was the master of the situation. And when he said, Lazarus is dead, he knew this because he knew all things. And when he said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, it's let the situation be at its worst, that the remedy may appear more clearly. Let him be dead 4 days. Let him have lain in the grave for 4 days, that there would not be an opportunity to say, well, perhaps he wasn't dead. So Jesus allowed the situation to be as extreme as it could be, that the power of God might be clear. And he said it was to the intent that ye might believe, to inspire belief in the disciples and in Mary and Martha and to all of those who stood by. So there was no question that Lazarus was dead. He was beyond human help. He was beyond human help. Praise our God. We'll go on. Verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my father, let me start again. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She was seeing with the human eye, with the family eye, with the sisterly eye, just knowing that her brother had lain in the grave for 4 days. She said, but I know. So she knew something. That even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. This is Martha. She has professed faith. She said, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She's going to have to put some feet to that faith. She's going to have to show that she believes. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Praise our God. So when Jesus came and Martha met him, she said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But we know that the mind of Jesus was high above hers. His thoughts were not her thoughts. Her way to deal with the dire situation would have been for Jesus to rush to Bethany and heal Lazarus before his death. That would have been her thought. And she was assuming that the power that Jesus had was limited to Lazarus healing while Lazarus was still alive. That she was assuming that the power that Jesus had depended upon Lazarus's ability to hold on till Jesus got there and not die before Jesus got there. But the Lord's way was to the intent that they might believe for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Praise our God. So Martha said, Lord, I know whatsoever you will ask of God, he will give it to you. When Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again, her thoughts went to, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. But that's not what Jesus was trying to tell her. That's not what Jesus is trying to tell souls who are lost and undone and dead in sin right now. Because the same thing that Jesus told Martha is the same thing that he's telling those who are lost in sin. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If we are saved this day, we were raised from the dead life in sin, from being dead in sin to new life in Christ Jesus. Verse 26, and Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me. So when we're saved, if we live in Christ Jesus, if we continue on to believe in Christ Jesus, Jesus said, shall never die. Shall never die. And then he asked her, believest thou this? Do you believe this? Verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. But she didn't really answer his question directly, did she? Jesus wants to, do you believe what I'm telling you? She said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her. When they saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out. They followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Again, her limited thought was not, Lord, now that you're here, what are you going to do for my brother? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. My. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. So we see Mary and Martha thought that this case was harder than just an illness. Martha said, Lord, I know even now, whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it to thee. There's faith in that declaration. But Jesus made it even simpler than that. Your brother shall rise again. And she thought he meant the general resurrection. So when Jesus told her, I am the resurrection, then she needed to believe in him. He is the resurrection. Not only does he hold the power of life, he is the life. Praise our God. Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth, if we're born again, if we're made alive spiritually, if Jesus abides in us and we abide in him, then we'll never die. Now we understand, we've stopped at verse 34. They're on their way to the grave, but we wanted to go back and just make sure that we understand what Jesus has told them as they're on their way there. When we know that we can abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we live and believe in him, abide in him by faith, we shall never die. The second death will have no power over us. Eternal death cannot touch us if we live and abide and believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Martha's understanding may not have been all there, but she did believe that Jesus is the Son of God. She did believe that he is the Christ. And for now, that was enough. That was sufficient, because Jesus was going to show her a new thing. Sometimes our faith just has to reach and touch those things, even though we don't fully understand. There are times when God is dealing with us in our life, and we have to say, Lord, I don't quite understand. I don't know what has happened or why it's happening, but Lord, have your way. Have your way. And when we get out of the Lord's way, then he can work. He is able. Verse 34. Jesus, again, verse 33, Jesus was troubled in spirit, and he said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. That shows the love that Jesus had for not only Lazarus, but also seeing the weeping and of the people. He wept because of their unbelief. I'm persuaded that he's weeping because he sees that they don't truly believe that he is able to do what he has promised Martha he would do. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Because they thought that Jesus wept only because of his love for Lazarus, and that Lazarus was now gone. But he was also weeping for them. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? So they were acquainted. They had been witness to the power of the Lord Jesus, or had at least heard of his power, because they're even making reference to it here, giving witness to it here. Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? But this man who had opened the eyes of the blind is able, they will find, to raise the very dead. Praise our God. Knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, we have to go on. It's not just a head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. It's having the experience of having the Lord work in your heart and your life and increase your faith. Verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. So you see, Jesus was groaning. In verse 33, he groaned in the spirit. And in verse 38, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. Not because he was mourning the death of Lazarus, but groaning in his spirit for the unbelief in the people, or groaning in his spirit knowing that they needed to go on, they needed more, they needed a demonstration of the power of God, and they needed to see that that power was manifested through God's Son, Jesus Christ. So he came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid there upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, this same Martha who said, Lord, I believe that thou, verse 20 said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's what she said. But in verse 39, when Jesus said, take ye away the stone, this same Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. So where was that faith? She believed that he is the Son of God. That's when we were talking about putting feet to your faith. Then if you believe that he is the Son of God, if you believe all power is given into his hands, then you have to believe that the Lord knows what he is doing. Because his thoughts were above, clearly above her thoughts. God, the Lord Jesus had a purpose. But she said, by now, he thinks he stinketh. That's why Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus asked her that separate question. Do you believe? Do you really believe? No, she's thinking about the physical constraints here. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Because from the very beginning, when Jesus was coming back to Bethany, he said that this his illness was not unto death, but for the glory of God. 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. Because we know that Jesus said it because those who are standing by clearly need faith to believe. I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. He was no longer dead. He was not going to be wearing dead man's clothes. He was alive. The Lord had raised him from the dead. When we're saved and we're raised up from a miserable life of sin, when the Lord raises us up and gives us liberty, we're told, in fact, that he whom the Son shall make free shall be free indeed. The Son, Jesus Christ, had just made this man free from death. And he said, loose him and let him go. When the Lord sets us at liberty from our sins, when we confess, can repent, and ask for forgiveness, and the Lord gives us freedom from sin and lets us go, we go living in the freedom that the Lord has granted us. And when we go, we're not still dragging around the same old things that we had when we were dead in sin. We don't talk the same talk. We don't walk the same walk. We don't associate with those who were sinners riot, running with the same excess of riot with us. We're not wearing the same things that we used to wear. And so there are some who say, well, you know, but these are good clothes. I paid good money for these. Toss them. The Lord will provide something better, something that will edify him, something that will help you to be an example of believers. Toss them. You won't lose a thing other than something that might drag you down, a chain that might drag you back. Come out of those grave clothes. Come out of that grave mind those grave attitudes, the dead life from that dead life in sin. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But it was necessary for them to see. For them to see. But we know that Jesus even upbraided Thomas. When Thomas, recall that Thomas, when Jesus rose again, even after he was crucified, and the other disciples had seen Jesus, they said, we have seen the Lord. And he said, I will not believe except I see, except I place my finger in the prints in his hand and thrust my hand into his side. And then when Jesus came back and showed him and said, place thy finger in my hand and thrust thy hand into my side and be not faithless, but believing. So many of these Jews who were with Mary and saw the things which Jesus did believed on him. We have to be not faithless, but believing through his word. That's where we see Jesus. And we have to believe, just as we believe that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Some, as we said, some recalled past works that Jesus had done. Some said, oh, you know, he could have done this, he could have done that, but that's not the mind of Christ. Because the Lord had others who needed to believe. He could have gone when they called for him. He could have gone before he died. He could have gone after he died and just gone to the grave and raised him. But that would not have been to the glory of God. He was fathering his father, doing those things that were required for the people. And that's why Jesus groaned in his spirit. My Lord, my Lord. We have to let the Lord have his way. We may have to roll some stones aside to get our faith where it needs to be. We're told they had to roll a stone aside to even get to allow the body access to come out, although they didn't know it, when Jesus called for it. But we need to let the Lord have his way in our lives. You know, and I'm persuaded even when they took the stone away and when Jesus called him out, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. So Jesus called him by name. The power of God is such that if Jesus had specifically called Lazarus, others may have come forth. Other of the dead may have come forth. Such is the power of God. But they had to roll the stone to get it out of the way. As we said, there's some stones possibly in our lives that we have to roll, get out of the way so that the Lord can work and that our faith can be increased. We may have some doubt or pride or fear or something that's an impediment to God being able to work in us as he wants to work. But when Jesus prayed to God, he said, Lord, I'm speaking aloud so that those who are standing by will believe, so that those who are standing by will know. And we have to be fully surrendered to God so that our prayers are not hindered. If we break our fellowship with God, it'll hinder our prayers. If we're not doing all that the Lord has said, it will hinder our prayers. If our faith is not where it should be, it will hinder our prayers. And then the Lord cannot have his own way in our life. You know, remember we were talking about yielding to God's way. But we know that Jesus and the Father are one. And if we want to be one with them, and if we want to have victory on those things in our lives that are coming on us and have answers to prayer, then we have to have this oneness with God and with Jesus. Jesus showed his power over death just by speaking. He didn't hit a rock. He didn't have to do anything other than call out. That's the power of his word. To complete the purpose for which he'd acted, he just had to speak the word. And many believers were added, we're told. And those disciples that were added had that experience to anchor their faith. And God and Jesus were glorified in that. And all of these blessings happened because the Lord had his way, because Jesus came in his time, because he came not before, but just at the right time. Many times we're waiting for God to work. The Lord's going to do it at just the right time to accomplish his will, to accomplish his way, regardless of what Mary and Martha or any of the other people theorize. And the Lord is the same way with us. We can't see far down the road. We can't see. The Lord knows everything. So we can profit when we just trust him and be true and see what he will do, because we're told he'll never disappoint our souls. Amen. We may not see. We may not understand. We may think that our blessing is going to come by some other method, some other mechanism. But when the Lord is working, it's actually his will, not ours. We don't have a highway. Some people say it's my way or the highway. Well, we don't have a highway, but he has a highway of holiness. Amen. And it behooves us to walk therein. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. We know that we read in Isaiah, the Lord said, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, I will bless. He said that the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's verse 9 from our responsive reading. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you. To think that Almighty God thinks thoughts toward us. What a blessing. And the Lord said, I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So the Lord already knows what's going to happen. The Lord already knows what he has in store for us. And he knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us. We may not know, but we have to yield to his way. The Lord has an expected end for each and every one of us if we can see that he is in control. And stop obstructing, stop blocking, let him do as he wills. Let us think about Joseph. Not too long ago, we were studying about, in our Sunday school lesson, we were studying about Joseph. We understand that Joseph was one of the younger sons of Jacob. And we know that God had a purpose for Joseph's life. We even know that Joseph was a type of Christ. Joseph had a desire to please and honor God, and it carried him through many trials in his life. You know, we think we have problems. Joseph had problems. He had many trials. He'd been badly mistreated by his own family, as well as by others whom he had not wronged at all. He was lied on. He was accused, unjustly jailed. He spent the better part of his 20s in an Egyptian prison after he was accused by Potiphar's wife. He was separated from his father, not knowing if he would ever see him again. Yet in spite of all these trials, he would later say to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. That's in Genesis 50:20. He knew that even though his brothers hated him at the time and were trying to get rid of him, behind them, it was God who was at work. He even told them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God sent Joseph to Egypt for God's purposes, and many people were saved during that famine, including his own father, Jacob, and the brothers. Joseph's trust in the goodness of God carried him through these terrible trials with a joyful spirit. He still was giving glory to God. He was free from bitterness and complaining. That same desire to please God in us will help us bear our trials if we believe that somehow, and we may not fully understand how, but somehow God's way will work out to our good and perhaps also bless someone else in the process. We must remember what the Lord said. Again, in Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we can't presume to tell the Lord or show the Lord how we will go through a trial or which trials we want to go through and which trials we'd rather just skip. We want to keep in mind as we read of Joseph that he was suffering. He didn't know how his life would turn out. When he was in that prison, when he was in fact, when his brothers had put him down in the hole, because it was their intention at first to kill him. And then another one said, well, then let's sell him. We can't profit anything if we kill him. Let's just sell him. So he did not know how his life would turn out. He did not yet know if he just held on for a few years that God would raise him up to be second to Pharaoh. He did not know these things. But it is clear that he knew one thing for sure, that God was reigning. Even over the evil things that people did, he knew that God was reigning. And we can have that same assurance. Now, let's be clear. Letting God have his way doesn't mean that you're just a doormat for people. They just do wickedness and evilness to you. And you, if you're a child who's being abused in a home, something like that, or molested, you need to report that. You need to tell that. If you know of a child or someone who's being beaten, or domestic violence, or being badly mistreated at work or at school, or you're being bullied, you need to go to the proper authorities so that they can take action. But there's a comfort for believers to know that even when your situation gets bad, God is still in control. The devil is not in control. Evil people are not in control. God is still in control. And God had a plan for Lazarus. And God had a plan for Joseph. Job 26:7. This is the same Lord who stretches out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. This is the same Lord who hung the earth on nothing. So surely the Lord can take our part. Surely the Lord can avenge us. Surely the Lord can take care of us and provide for us. That same Lord always has a plan. Does not God have a plan for us just as detailed as the one that he had for Lazarus and for Joseph? Yes, he does. Now, a plan is any detailed method formulated beforehand for doing something or making something. And we know that God's great plan of salvation has been since the foundation of the world. That's a long time beforehand, isn't it? We know that the Lord has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And what is God making in his plan? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. That's what he's making. He's preparing a people who are perfect in his sight. The God of all grace. And he says he's called us unto his eternal glory. The same way that Jesus called Lazarus, God has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. But it says, after ye have suffered a while, and we don't know how long a while is. Joseph didn't know how long a while is, that he was going to be in Egypt. Lazarus died not knowing that he would ever see Mary and Martha again. But this word says, after ye have suffered a while. So there's going to be things we're going to have to go through. But why? God's plan is to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We need to be all these things. God is perfecting us through these things that we have to go through. That's what God is making. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. What else is God able to make? 1 Corinthians 9, 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." So God's grace is sufficient. That God gives us will be sufficient, we're told, in all things. Whether we're going through a trial, whatever we're going through, tribulations, sickness, affliction, the Lord is able to make all, grace abound toward us, and that we may have all sufficiency in all things. Praise our God. The Lord's plan is to make us what we ought to be according to his measure, not ours. Our estimation may be wildly inaccurate because it's from our point of view and not the Lord's. You know, and our estimation can do nothing for our perfection, but it's the Lord. What else is the Lord making? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." So the Lord will make us to increase and abound in love. Have you found, since you've been saved, that you're able to love those who despitefully use you? Have you found that there may be some of you may be in the store and might be a cashier or might be somebody else in line and they seems like they've got a bad attitude, don't know whether they got out of the wrong side of the bed that day or someone else had perturbed them or provoked them and then they decided to come in and take it out on you? And you know that in your former life, when the old man was living in you, you would have come back at them and you would have given as good as you got. You wouldn't have been boxing them in the store, but you would have been telling them something that you thought they needed to hear. Meanwhile, they're telling you something they think you need to hear. And things get loud and so on. But do you find the peace that the Lord has put in your heart and the love that you have enables you to fulfill the scripture that says a soft answer turneth away wrath? Praise our God. So the Lord is able to make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. We don't just love the saints. We love those, we certainly love those who are of the household of faith, but we love all men. When we pray for those who are sleeping outside the church, we pray for the courtyard, sleeping on the steps out here in the back. You know, when they're leaving trash and we go out and we pick it up. When they're doing all manner of things. That's the love that we're showing them, the love of God. When they seem to be waking up and they're coming down from a high on something, you know, and they're groggy and their eyes are red and it looks like they don't quite even know who they are. Some of the saints go out and go downstairs and give them a bag as Lunchables or snacks or chips or something and a bottle of water. The Lord is able to make us to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. Christ loved us. God loved us enough to give his son. Jesus loved us enough to remain on that cross. Why? To the end he may establish our hearts unblameable in holiness. Does God require holiness? Oh, yes, he does. He wants to establish our hearts unblameable That's so no sin. We have to be established in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. And since we don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, we know that it is soon because these are the last days. We see the signs in his word, but we know that we have to live this way. We have to stay this way. Our hearts have to be established and remain unblameable in holiness. That is why we study God's word. That's why we pray to the Lord. That's why we seek God's face. That's why we seek him where he may be found, and we stay in him. We stay in Christ Jesus so that we're prepared at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is making us ready for life here and hereafter when done with this world, if we let him work his plan in us. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Do we have to be perfect? You hear someone say, oh, well, no one's perfect. This scripture says the God of peace that brought again Jesus from the dead make you perfect. And we know that God can do all things. And so we have to be perfect even as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That's what the Lord Jesus taught us. Yes. At some time in our Christian experience, the Lord will purge us to perfect us because we have to be purged. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So if we are being purged, it's because we are bearing some fruit. Otherwise, he would have taken us away. If we were not bearing fruit, it says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So being purged is a good thing for our spiritual being. Being purged is a good thing for our soul. But it may seem hard because we may have to go through some trials to get there according to the will of God. We may be chosen of God to endure affliction. We know right now in our congregation, there are some who have affliction in their body. It doesn't mean necessarily they're being purged, but we know that the same afflictions that are in the world, we're going to have to suffer those things, whether it be heart attack, stroke, arthritis, you know, whatever it might be, you know, a gout, sore foot, you know, headache, all these things, glaucoma, you know, cataracts, and so on. I know about the cataract part. There's some things that we have to go through. And some just because we understand that these bodies are dust. And so they're subject to aging. They're subject to what the Lord sees fit to put on us. But we still look to him for comfort, and we still look to him for healing because we know that he's able to give us relief. And he does touch us, and he does help us. But there are times when there are afflictions that he allows us to go through for our good. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. It's a blessing to be chosen of God for whatever reason. But we're told here, I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Why? To refine us. God's will is to refine us and prove us and perfect us and purify us, whatever the trial or tribulation or the test might be. There's a song that we have sung. Now let the fire fall on me. And some of them might be someone, you're praying, you're asking the Lord to let the fire fall on you. Yes, to be purged, to be made meet for the master's use, to be perfected. That first verse said, Lord, I would be wholly thine. I would do thy will divine. From the world of sin and self, I would be free. On the altar now I lie, and with all my heart I cry, let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. I would have sufficient grace, every foe to bravely face, and an overcomer evermore to be, that I well may fill my place, and that I may win the race. Let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. See, we can't do these things unless the purging has happened, to let the Lord have his full sway, have his full way in our hearts. Holy Spirit from above, fill my longing soul with love, till the master's image all in me may see. Make me gentle, true, and kind, meek of heart and humble mind. Let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. I'm not saying, Lord, send the fire down on that one over there because they look like they could need some work. No, Lord, let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. In the kingdom I would stay. That means there's no in and out, up and down. In the kingdom I would stay, there to labor night and day, any way and anywhere thy will may be, but that I may do my best and that others may be blessed. Let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. And the chorus says, let the fire fall on me. Says it again, let the fire fall on me. The fire of Pentecost, consuming sin and dross. Let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. My Lord, it's God's will to purify us, to perfect us, that we might be a prepared people. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. We have to be prepared now in order to be ready when Jesus comes. Because when we see him, and all eyes shall see him, word says, all eyes shall see him, and they that pierced him, all eyes shall see him. But before that time comes, we have to ensure that we are like him in order to be able to meet him in peace. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You see, that has to be a declaration. That has to be a testimony. That has to be a condition that we have now. At this time, it can't be, I'm going to be, at that time, I'm going to be a son of God. But it has to be, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. That lets us know we're going to be even more beyond that. But the minimum condition is that we have to be sons of God now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. We know we're going to have a new body. We know that, that body that's incorruptible. We know that we're going to have a body that's immortal. We know that this old flesh right here, This is that we're told that the corruptible must put on incorruption and the mortal must put on immortality. We don't know what that looks like, but we know God's promises and we believe them. We're not like Martha, who one minute we believe and then when confronted with the reality of it, when she said, Lord, by now he stinketh after Lazarus had laid in the grave for four days. No, we must believe now and believe it then. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, you say this is a no-so salvation, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what's it say about everybody that believes, truly believes that? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And if we have this hope in us, then we know that we have to be pure before the Lord, and we're going to live a pure life. We're going to live a holy life before the Lord. Psalm 16, the 66th Psalm, not 16, 66. The 66th Psalm, verse 10. We're going to have to be proven in this life, and that means there are going to be some things that we're going to have to go through. There are just some things that we know we'll go through. The Lord has told us if we're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to suffer some persecution. Sometimes it's persecution. Sometimes but there's something we're going to have to suffer. Psalm 66:10 says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." So we're going to have to be tried. Doesn't say that God is tempting us, because we know God does not tempt us, but we will be tried. We're told in James that God doesn't tempt any man. He said, but we are tempted of ourselves, and we are drawn away of our own lusts and enticed. So people cause themselves to be drawn away into those things. But we will be tried and tested. Malachi 3:3. Again, God is testing us. He's trying us, purging us, refining us. Malachi 3:3. "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Amen. And notice it says, "he shall purify the sons of Levi," the priests on the old law. The priests were of the tribe of Levi. They were the sons of Levi. But we know that under the new covenant, under Jesus Christ, the Lord has made us kings and priests unto God, so that there's not an intermediary, there's not somebody who has to go to God for us, but we go to God for ourselves, and we can pray to him because we are kings and priests unto God through the blood of Jesus. And so in that way, we're sons of Levi, in that we are priests unto God, and we can get a prayer through when we're living holy and righteous. Amen. So the God is sitting as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So we have to be purged even to offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. When we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, we have to be holy. It's an offering in righteousness. So we have to be living righteously. We have to be living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We have to let the Lord have his way in us, that we ourselves may be that offering, that God can use us as he would use us. There's a little reading called The Refiner's Touch I'd like to share with you. We're talking about God refining us and purging us, but I'd just like to share this with you. It says, there was a group of women in a Bible study on the book of Malachi. We just read Malachi 3:3. As they were studying chapter 3, they came across verse 3, which says, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." This verse puzzled the women, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and nature of God. One of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their next Bible study. That week, the woman called up a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest in silver beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were hottest so as to burn away the impurities. I hope you have a spiritual ear that you're listening to this now. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in the front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered that yes, he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time that it was in the fire. For if the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's the easy part, when I see my image reflected in it." If today you are feeling the heat of the fire, remember that God has his eye on you and will keep his hand on you and watch over you until he sees his image in you. Praise our God. So by submitting to the Lord's will, even in trials, we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We're becoming meat for the Master's use, and we are becoming conformed to the image of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter 1, 7. He said that our faith has to be tried. Verse 7 there says, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So when we're tried, it will be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We think about, we're going through these things for Jesus. We're going through that we might be precious in his sight, that we might be purged from any dross that's there. And we should not think that the Lord has set us up as his mark, or that he's targeting us for trouble for his own pleasure. But there are things that we must go through according to the will of God. And if we are victorious, we must go through God's way, or we might find ourselves stumbling over the same obstacle again and again and again. We're still in 1 Peter chapter 4. Turn to chapter 4 in 1 Peter, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. That's people think, oh, what is happening? I don't understand what's happening. I'm living for the Lord. The Lord said, first said, beloved, let you know I love you. Don't think I don't love you. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Praise our God. Amen. Amen. We often think of the song sometimes saints used to sing, "By and by when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home, we will tell the story how we overcame," or how we've overcome, depending on how you sing it, "and we'll understand it better by and by." What are you going to sing if you didn't have to overcome anything? What song can you sing if you haven't had to overcome? Because we're partakers of Christ's suffering, Amen. We can be glad with exceeding joy because we're partakers of Christ's sufferings. The Lord has given us comfort for whatever we need to go through. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, maybe I meant one from that 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me check. Yes, 2 Corinthians, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. And the Lord will comfort us for whatever we need to go through. I think my mind goes back to last Wednesday for Bible study. And Sister Carol started to sing, he knows just how much you can bear. And he does. And he gives us comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So we're acknowledging the fact that there are things that are happening, but, again, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Praise our God. So these things, there are things that are happening. We're not crazy. We know that there are things that are happening, but God is in control. And we yield to his way. We're in, turn back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. So again, think it not strange. This is common. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Praise our God. So the Lord will not leave us alone. He'll not forsake us. Romans chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Because we know that even the Lord Jesus Christ went through something, did he not?
Yes.
Romans chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Praise our God. So we're not hopeless. Praise our God. Praise our God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, not just during times of bereavement, but all the time, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God has a purpose for it, that we might be able to comfort someone else, even in their tribulation. And we may be going through something. We may be in a tribulation, but someone else is going through something even more than us. And so even in our tribulation, we're able to go and comfort and help and pray with someone else. We're also told to bear one another's burdens. and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's Galatians 6, 2. We're told, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So as we're going through these things, we're able to help someone else. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Thank you, Lord. The Lord has said that he would be with us. He never leave us nor forsake us when we are his. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. What a blessing for the Lord to say, thou art mine. Praise our God. That means that we've met the condition to belong to him. Verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight. Just because we're going through something, we're still precious in the Lord's sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God is still there. God is still working. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Praise our God. And look at verse 10 also. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. This is the God that we serve. With this consolation from the Lord, we can go through our troubles by staying with the Lord, not by shrinking or ducking the Lord's will for our lives. And if you're a child of God, how can you have a testimony if you never go through anything and trust the Lord while going through it? If you're a child of God, how can you be a witness? The witness spoken of that we just read in verse 10. If you never wait to know and understand and believe that the Lord is he. Don't give up. If you take a cake out of the oven when it's half baked, you frustrate the baker. Baker's mixed it up, put all the ingredients in that are necessary. Stop thinking of Sister Melita. Put all the ingredients, all the wonderful ingredients in that are necessary, put it in the oven, and take it out when it's half baked. You never get the finished product. And so it is with God. Let us not frustrate his purpose in us. Let us let him have his way and carry us through the trials. We don't give up on the Lord. It takes power to let the Lord have his way, to truly trust him. Because there's a tendency for a man to want to fix it. He wants to fix it himself. Or to put God on a cloth. Some want to put out a fleece, like Gideon did. But when they put out the fleece, they prayed to the Lord, all right, Lord, I'm praying, this is what it is. This is what's happening. And some will even say, Lord, this is what I need to have happen. But that's not God's will. That's not God's way. And for some, if it's not resolved in a day or a week or a month, or some other arbitrary deadline, then they tell Lord, I'll seek other recourse. I'll seek another way. But that's not waiting on the Lord. And whatever way you try to seek out to fix your problem, the Lord will bring it to naught because it's not his will. We think even mindful of Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. He turned with the other way. God said, that's all right. I've got to apply. I've got something for that, too. I've got something for that, too. And but God took him through, which he would not have had to go through if he had been obedient in the first place. He would not have ended up in the belly of the fish and been down there praying with the weeds, with the seaweed on his head and so on. He would not have been praying down, having to pray in that way and have to repent. That would not, he would not have had to go through that trial if he had been obedient. And so many times now, people will be disobedient to God's will, and then they end up having to go through a whole lot more than if they just obeyed the Lord. And then after they go through all that more, they end up right back to where if they had just obeyed the Lord, now Lord, no, we'll bring them back. Okay, now do what I tell you to do. Amen. Yeah, while I'm mentioning that, talking about the belly of the fish, I don't know if you've been watching lately, as it's happened two or three times, where people are the account of Jonah, the account of what God did with Jonah, in the book of Jonah, and people who say, oh, that can't be. That could never happen. Well, it happened. There were people who were kayaking or something, and they were out there, and the whale, it swallowed them. They went into the whale's mouth. And then it spit them out. Didn't spit them out on dry land, but because that was God's will to really to save Jonah the overland trip. He had the fish spit him out right there where he needed to be, a day or so from where he needed to be. But it's happening now. So for those unbelievers who say, well, that could never happen. That it's happening now, and people have cell phones and things that are recording it. So I believe that God is manifesting himself to help some believe. And those that said that I don't believe that could never happen. Well, it's physically happening now. I believe there have been two instances, not too far apart, where that has happened. God is right in all things. Amen. Praise our God. Praise our God. We cannot set deadlines for God. It takes power to depend on the Lord. It takes the Holy Spirit dwelling within to trust God without reservation and without doubt. Praise our God. There was a hymn that saints, we haven't sung it lately, but some of you may remember, it's called He Wants His Way in Thee. And it says, God has sent the Holy Spirit to our hearts, an honored guest, to deliver us from evil and to bring us peace and rest. He has come to work within us, heaven's purposes so blessed. He wants his way in thee. Let the Spirit do the planning. Point the way thy feet shall go. Greater than thine own, his wisdom. He the will of God doth know. Better, wiser than our choosing is the way that he will show. He wants his way in thee. He doth sometimes work in silence, when thou dost not know at all. He doth sometimes speak so softly, thou must listen for his call. But if thou wilt trust him fully, he will be thine all in all. He wants his way in thee. All thyself to him surrender. As he pleases, let him do. In the paths he leadeth, follow, whether they be old or new. when the tasks seem hard before thee, he with power will endue. He wants his way in thee. Yield, this is the refrain, yield unto the Holy Spirit. Let him have his way with thee. Be thou ready to obey him. He leads to victory. The only way that we can have victory, we sing the song, Victory in Jesus, we've got to yield to him. You know, there's some who still say, but their vision is so narrow, and so the earth dimmed, that they say, but Lord, but my situation, but I have a situation, as though they're going through something that the Lord has never seen before. But God is a God of situations, and he's working on our behalf, even when we cannot see it. And that's when our faith really has to kick in. And so you may say, well, what do I do while I'm letting the Lord have his way? Well, give thanks. Sometimes being thankful in a difficult situation can be difficult, because all you can think of is if you're in pain, or if something is happening, or bill collectors are coming, and so on. But the scripture tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To be thankful rather than complain takes a conscious effort, because you want to please God. And it will glorify God. Praise our God. We can rejoice. Rejoice. Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. This is Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It was repeated in the scripture for emphasis. This is a response of the Spirit. Because it's possible to be sad and joyful at the same time. We may not be able to escape the pain of a difficult situation, but we can learn to rejoice in the Lord. We can rejoice in God. We can rejoice in his goodness and all the good things that he has given to us, even in our suffering. We can believe and act on the word of God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he responded to each temptation by quoting scripture. He didn't try to debate Satan. He just gave him the word. When Satan challenged him to turn stones into bread, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we can follow Jesus' example by standing on or proclaiming the truth of God's word, even in the face of trials and tests, because the word is the authority by which we claim the promises of God. John 15:7. This was Jesus making a promise. John 15:7. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a promise. And so even when we're going through something, we can pray the word. Lord, you said, if I abide in you and your words abide in me, Lord, you said I can ask what I will, dear Father. So, Lord, this is what I'm asking in the name of Jesus. In praying and crying out to the Lord, we're told that he will answer our cry if we are in him. And maybe the greatest reason for God taking us through the trials is so that we realize that we need him. We are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, because our sufficiency is in him. He wants to work in our lives with power. He's able to shield us from distress. He's able to shield us from trials. But then what good would we be? We'd be weak. We'd be good for nothing. We wouldn't be able to stand. How could we put on the whole armor of God and be able to stand if we'd never been through anything and trusted God for our keeping? And we wouldn't even be obedient to putting on the whole armor of God. Because if we never had to stand, it would be, well, why should I put on the armor? But the word says that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. And we have to believe that, because he is a liar and a murderer. The Lord brings us through the midst of trials that we might be strong. And we have to trust him in the ways and in the time frame that will produce the most good in our lives and the most glory for his name. And only God knows what that would be. God knows how long that will be, and God knows what that will be. So by yielding and surrendering to his will, even through prayer, and in waiting on him to answer, we can be perfected in him. And we can also overcome evil with good. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Even when we're going through something, even if something that someone is doing, we know it would be against God's word and will, but we can overcome evil with good because the Lord didn't tell us to try to retaliate in any way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why should we do this? Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Praise our God. Praise our God. Now that's for those who are the children of our Father. But what if you're not saved? I speak to those who are listening, who are not saved. You don't know the Lord. You haven't surrendered your heart and your life to him, even with all of these precious promises and knowing that when you have troubles, the Lord will be with you and the Lord will take you through. And yet you're still out there subject to the devil. If you're not saved, there is a problem. There's a writer named C.S. Lewis, Christian writer. And he said, I'm quoting him, so much mercy, yet still there is hell. There's so much mercy that God has provided for the lost, those who are lost and undone. So much Jesus died on a cross, rose again, that we might be raised to newness of life in him. So much mercy. Yet still there is hell because of those who have rejected the call of God. If you're unsaved, God, Jesus died for you. He died for you. He laid down his life. He shed his blood to save you. Even as our responsive reading said in Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because if a man is unrighteous, his thoughts are unrighteous. If a man is wicked, his thoughts are wicked. People may say with their mouth, oh, I go to church. Oh, yes, I pray. If your heart is wicked and your thoughts are wicked, you are wicked and unrighteous. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. The Lord will have mercy upon you if you're unsaved. The Lord will turn your life upside down, because if you're in sin, it needs to be turned upside down. He will abundantly pardon. Praise our God. You just have to believe. You have to have faith. You have to believe that Jesus is life, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He laid down his life to save you from sin's awful ruin and destruction. And he has made the invitation. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Thank you for bearing with me. Praise our God. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. God has done all this. He gave his son such mercy. Jesus has made the invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. The Lord will not pile a burden of sin on you. He must lift that burden of sin. Won't you come? Don't continue to be an enemy of God, your Creator. If you're unsaved, don't reject Jesus, who is the Savior. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. Praise our God. This is the promise. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Right now, Jesus is on the right hand of God making intercession. And he's able to save to the uttermost, not halfway, save to the uttermost. We talked about a half-baked cake. No. Full salvation. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He is our high priest. Praise our God. Amen. There was a reading. Said there was this was in England. It was a pastor in England back in 1895 who penned these words regarding going through trials in the Lord. And this is kind of as you're going through the trial, just a way for someone. Sometimes you have to comfort yourself as you're praying. You have to comfort and encourage yourself. To stand, to stay true in the Lord, to just stay there. Even as Jacob was holding onto the angel, said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And so this pastor wrote and said, this is what it said, in the time of trouble, say, this is now you're talking to yourself, in the time of trouble, say, first he brought me here. It is by his will I am in this distressing place. In that I will rest. Next say, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace in this trial to behave as his child. Then say, he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me lessons he intends me to learn. And working in me the grace he means to bestow. And last say, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when, he knows. Therefore say, I am here. 1, by God's appointment. 2, in his keeping. 3, under his training. 4, for his time. Praise our God. We want to always yield to God's way. Because we know that if we just seek our own way, in many cases it will lead to our ruin. But we know that God's way is best for us. May the Lord bless you today, is my prayer. Amen. Mr. Millicent, may we sing 472 in the worship of the Lord? Would that be all right? Praise our God.
Amen. Amen. As Sister Millicent comes, thank the Lord for his well-spoken word to us, truly a message of calling, truly a message of God speaking to us and having his way. Truly want to thank the Lord for the message and the messenger. Thank God for all that he has shared with us and in that message. Just a few points I want to share with you before the song.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about when she was giving us the message about Lazarus, and it spoke about him being in the grave. And how he stinketh after 4 days. And the Lord was able to raise him up. And you know that no matter whether you're a rank sinner or not, and how long you may have been a rank sinner, something that's rank is also something that stinks.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord is able to raise you up. He's able to bring you up out of that dead state of life into a newness of life. The Lord is speaking to hearts and minds, letting them know that he has died for you and that he has power to raise you up from a grave. An old sinful life that is a grave life. And I thank the Lord for that, because there's a scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it made me think of this. Chapter 15, it said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So we see in the message that was given that the Lord over the grave, he can have victory in our lives. The grave has no sting over us if we look to Jesus Christ. He can bring us out of a life of sin that stinketh and would smell to him or to others, but God is able to raise us up. Amen. Amen. So I thank the Lord for the message today and the messenger and how he has blessed her to give us these truths. Amen. Mr. Mills.
Amen. 472, his way with thee.
Would you live for Jesus and be always good and... Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burdens, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His heart can make you what you are to be. His heart can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you need never fall? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you are to be. His love can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see what's best for him to have his way.
You know, as I listen to this song and as I understand the message, I realize there's a time in our lives when we had an opportunity to hear something or purchase something, and we said, oh, I should have bought that when I had a chance. Mm-hmm. And you walked away and you think about it, and you realize you maybe don't ever had a chance at that again. And you say, boy, that was a good opportunity, but I let it slip away. You know, it makes me think of King Agrippa. He trembled in his spirit at a time when he heard a message, and we never hear where he trembled again. So maybe he never had an opportunity at that message or that trembling spirit again. Amen. So you heard a message this morning. And if it trembled, don't let it go. Amen. When the water was trembled by the angel, they had to get in at the point that the ripples were still going. Once the ripples ran out, there was no more healing.
Amen.
So if you let a message like today run out, there may not be no more healing. Amen. While the water is trembled, jump in. Get the healing today. If you need healing today, that message trembled the waters for us. Get in. Allow the Lord to change your life. And not continue the way of the world. Amen? Amen. Let us sing that last verse and think about the message that was given us. Yielding to God's way. Amen. Yielding to God's way. Amen.
Would you in his kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove him true in providential tests? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with me. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee.
Amen. It's his power. It's Jesus' power that can make you free. It's his blood that is able to change your heart and make you free. Amen. So we can't rely on our own power and think that we can get free from the enemy of our soul. We must rely on Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we truly thank God for the message, the messenger, the message this day, how it has spoke to my heart. I got my part out of it. That sickle was sharp. That sickle was sharp. That sickle cut down plenty of groceries for us to eat. Amen. Did your bushel get full? That's what you got to know is, did your bushel get full? Did you get enough to make you think about your own very own soul
this day.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look to the Lord in prayer and bless the word that he gave us, sent to us, and thank him for it. Our kind, most gracious, and heavenly Father, once again we bow our heads before thee, bow our hearts and our minds, and even our soul and our spirit before thy throne. And we realize, dear Father, that you sent the word of God, and you sent it through your messenger, and we're thankful for her, and we're thankful for the message that she gave us this day, according to how you had given it to her. And we realize, dear Father, that you had, even as it said in the reading, that your word would not return unto thee void. Just even as the rain comes down and the snow comes down, we've never seen the rain go back up, and we've never seen the snow go back up. So likewise, your word will not return unto you void. It is going to fit for the purpose and do the feeding and the help to one's soul that is needed if he will receive and eat thereof. So we ask that thou will continue to bless your word and allow your spirit to speak to hearts and minds. Even as we leave from this place, we know that the Spirit's faithful to remind us of what we heard this day.
Amen.
Now have thine own divine way. Bless us, strengthen us, and continue to keep us encouraged in your love and in the love of Jesus Christ, who paid it all that we may have eternal life. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word this day, and we thank you for your messenger. Have thine own divine way in our lives, and let us be careful to give thee the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Truly thank God. Thank God for a wonderful message. As has been said, we don't want to take the word of God lightly. We don't want to take God giving us something lightly and go out of here and just think, oh, service is over. We made it through, you know, time to go home, get some rest somewhere. Rest was here. Rest was to get here. Rest is not at home. Rest was to get here. And if we don't realize that, we'll leave out of here and we'll just be troubled. We're troubled more than we got rest, because rest was why you came. Amen. So we truly thank God for you, Sister Blake.
Yes, I don't have to. So thank you.
Yeah. So truly thank God for the message and the messenger and all that was said. Truly have an understanding of what it means to receive God's word and God to have his way in our lives. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. God bless. All right. Well, are there any other thoughts before we read the announcements? Minister Jenkins, anyone else?
Sorry, I'd just like to say I truly thank the Lord for the message. Thank God for the
prayer.
Maybe think of the psalm that Jesus
paid it all.
Mm-hmm. All to him I love.
Amen.
Sin has been washed by him.
Amen.
Thank God for knowing that.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Sister Holmes? Amen. 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 Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. 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 Thank the Lord for you. Amen. 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 Well, it's always a blessing to hear from you and know that you encourage us to continue on. Continue on. It's always good when you come and eat, isn't it? We came and we got filled up. We came and we got something to eat. Yeah. Sis had a sickle in her hand. She cut down some food for us. Amen. And she chopped it up and cut it up and so that we could digest it. She broke down every scripture so we could leave here with an understanding of God's way and God's will. Amen. Amen. That's what we come for. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right. There's nothing else. I'm going to read these announcements. Sunday, July 16th, 2023. Our meditation. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prayer to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken. And we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Psalms 124:6-8. We realize that the Lord, we're in a snare when we're in Satan's hand. That's right. Satan is a snare to our lives. And God has allowed us to escape through Jesus Christ. Amen. If we will only receive. Amen. He's allowed us to escape through the blood of Christ. Amen. Always pray one for another during the week. 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Amen. That's 1 Samuel 12:23. Intercessory prayer will be rendered every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. We are praying for lost souls and the souls of the saints, that God will keep them in his care. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. And our November turkey giveaway canister is always open to receive funds. The choir rehearsal following morning service. All right. Food pantry this Saturday, the 22nd, here at the church at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Please pray for this work and Brother Byron Johnson bringing the message. Amen. Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. by phone. Remember to turn your phone off around 5:30 and turn back on at 6:30 before service. And please mute your phone. Please pray for Brother Byron Johnson and all bringing scriptures. And muting your phones help us, as Sister Jenkins has said, to stop the echo. So, because we're getting echo and we're getting background noise. So mute your phones. But we know there are those that like to say things or speak in. But just remember to hit your mute button on and off, and then if you have something to say. It helps out. Happy birthday blessings this week. Brother Robert Williams, the 18th, and Sister Vivian Holmes, the 20th, 97th birthday. Amen, Sister Holmes. Thank the Lord for you. Thought for today, discipline is training, not punishment, although it sometimes requires punishment. Amen, amen. Discipline is training, not punishment. In the right way, in the Lord, understand that his word is as correction. Amen? Amen. That's discipline as well. Amen. Thank the Lord. And we have plenty of saints to remember in prayer and that are on our sick and shut-in list, and keep those in your prayers. Any other thoughts? Sister Milson, what do you have? Okay. All right. That's for, huh? Oh, who,
Jay McElroy.
April's husband.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts before we close out? Amen. Well, then let us stand. Thank the Lord for you, Sister Blake, once again. Thank the Lord for his message, his messenger. Thank the Lord for his word. Now he has brought it this day. Let us be careful how we handle it. Let us be careful how we handle it. As Sister Blake spoke to us about the children of Israel, we see how they mishandled. Oh, I didn't forgot about them on the phone. Mishandled God's word, and to a point where God became somewhat fed up, and he told them so many of them from a certain age would not cross over. So he got to a point in that where he got fed up with their behavior. He didn't let them return. That was not in the picture. God doesn't lead us back into sin. God only was a deliverer from sin. So let us be careful how we take his word today and how we go with it, that we may know that God's going to hold us accountable for what he says to us through his word. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank the Lord. Sister Smith, will you dismiss us? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the service.